Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game, okay? The mouse's parents have been killed. The mouse has been raped. And the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS. With Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Interqual.
Oh, the pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say, Crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story. Robert Pattinson killed a clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right! I said tune in weekly.
They're full of BS.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. I'm your host, Jeff Bear. This is my sidekick, Eric D. Snyder.
Hey, I'm the host of this show, Eric D. Snyder. That's my sidekick, Jeff Bayer. Happy New Year. 2016, specifically, is the new year.
So you're going 2016 again. You're not going 2016.
No.
But you will go 2020? I can't remember.
Probably not. That's probably not going to catch on until we get to 2100.
Huh.
Because you know why? Because you don't say 20. Like, if something costs, or if there's, what am I trying to say?
You know, it's funny. We've had this conversation before.
If there's 20, okay. If there's 2,048 of something, you don't say there's 2,048 of them. You say there's 2,048.
Yeah, but 2020 is going to be pretty fun to say.
We might say it since 2020 is a thing that we're used to saying in other contexts.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. It's what's exciting about the future. Who knows what'll happen?
That's the only thing that I can think of is that 2020 thing.
Yeah,
being exciting. Everything else, meh.
You know what else will be exciting in 2020 is all the kids named Kylo Ren and Rey showing up in preschools and kindergartens, spelled various ways.
Oh, man. I'm going a different route with mine, so we'll see. Anyway.
You're naming yours Paul Blart, like we talked about?
Just Blart.
Blart Bear.
Blart Bear. Oh, and we're going to beef this kid up. So he's going to be a fat Blart Bear.
That'll be great. Yeah. We'll look forward to that.
The Hateful Eight.
Yeah. That's what we call Thanksgiving at my house. Zoing!
So some of you, the lucky few, might have seen this in 70 millimeter. Some of you, the lucky few, might have been in a movie theater where Quentin Tarantino decided to drop by and say, "Hey, everybody, how you doing? Mm-hmm. You just watched my movie."
Yeah. Maybe I was one of those lucky few.
Some of you might have tried like 2 days ahead of time to buy tickets for that very show, but then it was sold out. And then you went to the theater and you were like, "Hey, I know it's sold out, but like, do you guys do a standby list or like, do you do anything like that?" And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't get to go to a movie that you were looking forward to seeing in 70 millimeter, even though you already saw it.
Right.
But you didn't know Quentin Tarantino was going to be there showing up at the end. And you personally really think Quentin Tarantino might be the greatest director of your life, at least. So it's too bad. But
it is too bad.
But if that's like you, then maybe you bought tickets well in advance and you're going to see it Sunday at 6 at the Hollywood Theater, the only place in Portland that's showing it in 70 millimeter. So then I guess maybe it'll be slightly okay, even though you didn't get to do the Q&A.
Yeah, Tarantino probably won't show up at that one. But maybe. Keep your fingers crossed.
All right. Let's just talk about that.
Okay.
The movie ends.
Well, at intermission.
Oh.
This, by the way, this was this past Tuesday in the evening at Hollywood Theater here in Portland. And at intermission, just as intermission was ending, some guy in the audience sitting a row ahead of me is saying, "Hey, Quentin Tarantino's out in the lobby." And I kind of didn't believe him because that seems like something that somebody would say that isn't true.
Totally.
Then I heard someone else say it, and then I had it pointed out, which I had not heard. But before the movie, Dan, the guy who runs Hollywood Theater, had introduced the film and had said, "Be sure to stick around after the credits." And I had missed that.
Oh, okay.
But that plus the report, the cat was out of the bag. But then, yeah, when the movie ended, as soon as the credits started, lights came up, and there's Dan, and said, "You know, I think the secret's out, but here you go." And QT came up on stage, dressed like he does at Sundance, all parked up.
So I assume, just like most Q&As, you noticed, and then you immediately got up and left to go see another movie.
That's what I would normally do, of course, at a film festival. But no, I stuck around. You know, I was there with a friend of mine. You've met him, Cole. And Cole is a new Quentin Tarantino fan. Like, he's just recently, in the last year, seen Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Inglourious Bastards.
You know, it's funny. Huh. Same with my Cole,
your
except
nephew?
Your Cole has a little age on my Cole.
Yeah, although not a lot, though.
Really?
He's only like 24.
Oh, yeah, mine's 17.
Anyway, so Cole, new fan to Quentin Tarantino. And, of course, not accustomed to the jet-setting film festival life like you and I are. So he was very excited. That's very awesome.
Cool.
And it was cool for me, too. Yeah, I did a Q&A, and the questions weren't too stupid, which, again, was different from film festivals.
That's a little surprising.
And, like, no one asked him the budget or what he shot on. I guess we knew what he shot on. They asked him why.
And so,
it was a very cool experience.
So,
and I wonder if people know what 70mm means. I think some people don't, they hear it talked about, but don't necessarily know what the big deal is.
It doesn't, the layman definition of it would be super skinny, super wide.
Yeah, it was super wide anyway. And the film, and there's more, the greater resolution. You can see more detail. Like, especially in close-ups, you see every pore of these people's faces.
So here's the question for you, which I'm glad you already did this for my test run. With the Hollywood Theater, what row do you recall where you were sitting as far as
the
theater goes?
It was like the fourth row.
And did you feel like that was ever too close?
Not that it was too close, but I definitely the screen filled my entire field of vision.
So I was thinking five or six. Like row five or six is kind of what I wanted. That was just my hunch.
Yeah, probably about right.
All right, there we go. This is great. All right, well, that was our first movie. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, we didn't talk about the movie yet. We talked about the circumstances surrounding it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a Western, old-timey, set apparently shortly after the Civil War, not too long after, we get the feeling.
That's right, and we're in a Wyoming winter. Oh, man.
That is one of the worst places to be at one of the worst times to be there.
Yeah.
And these guys, the stagecoach, Kurt Russell, with magnificent facial hair.
Oh, man. He tops the bone tomahawk look.
Mm-hmm.
He one-ups it.
He's a bounty hunter.
It's like he was just he was growing out some facial hair, and somebody was like, hey, do you want to be in bone tomahawk? And he's like, yeah, might as well, while I'm working on this.
As long as I've got the chops.
Yep.
I have the souvenir program here that you get when you see it in 70mm. So I'm just looking at it for the character names and
John Ruth.
Yeah, he's a bounty hunter, and he's taken Jennifer Jason Leigh,
Daisy,
taken her to justice, and they meet another bounty hunter, Samuel L. Jackson, Major Marquis Warren,
mm-hmm.
and they wind up.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we should say, as the movie points out many a times, John Ruth's nickname is the Hangman.
Yeah,
and it's because he respects the law enough to, if somebody deserves a hanging, whether it says wanted dead or alive, he's going to make sure they get a hanging.
Bring him in alive, yeah. A lot of bounty hunters just go ahead and shoot the person.
It says
dead or alive. That's what I would do.
I got to be honest. I would totally do it. If I was a bounty hunter and if I traveled back in time, I would shoot.
Much
like,
easier,
wanted dead or alive.
Much but easier to transport a corpse than an uncooperative live person.
Now that I think
about it, I've always said that.
If I'm traveling back into time, I'm probably not going to be a bounty hunter. Unless it's old Hitler. Then I'll do it.
I don't know that there was a bounty on him, but we've gotten away from the main point. And then Walton Goggins is the new sheriff of the town that they're going to.
That's what he says.
So he says. There's a lot of people say a lot of things that are not true in this movie. I don't think anyone has ever – no one in the movie is completely honest all the time.
No, I don't think so either. And and that's part of the loveliness of this slowly paced first act, especially. But it's that lingering wondering that is just constantly filling the air.
Who's not telling the truth here? And they all wind up blizzard bound in a little inn, a little tavern, haberdashery.
And what's really – I think what's nice about this is you have trust in Quentin Tarantino to tell a tale. Because in another person's hands, you'd kind of be like, well, wait a minute, why am I sitting here? There's not enough going on. But I think he just leaks out a few things, and these characters are so lovely done.
They're very vivid characters, as usual.
Very, very vivid, very raw at certain times where you're just like, oh boy, I got to get ready for punching Daisy in the mouth. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll happen a lot.
I got to deal with that.
Well, it's difficult when you've only got one female character. She mm-hmm. has to receive all the abuse and all the misogyny instead of having it spread out among several female characters. It's all centered on her. But they all wind up in this place, and it's eventually there's sort of a whodunit, almost like an Agatha Christie thing, like someone in this room has done yes. something wrong.
And some people are in on it, and some people aren't, and some people know a little more, and there's some narration that pops in, and there's some playfulness that really kicks off the second act to where it does feel like two different vibes that Quentin is going for in the first act.
After the intermission, there's a shift a little bit.
There is. And I would say, there's for a while, I was like, well, this is interesting. There's not a lot of violence here in this Quentin Tarantino movie.
I was just going to say, you're wondering, you know, it's so far it's typical Tarantino in that they're punching women and they're saying the N-word a lot. So it's your basic Tarantino. And then, but you're wondering, hey, where's the blood? Where's the gore?
Yeah.
Where's the awful violence?
Where is it going to pour out of?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where will the blood come spurting from is what you're wondering.
Yeah.
And, well, don't worry.
Don't worry. That will be answered in the second mm-hmm, half. Mm-hmm. So you just get a nice, peaceful, classic Western of snappy dialogue in the first, and then things get ratcheted up a notch.
And it plays up, in addition to the tension between bounty hunters and criminals and strangers and all that, there's also the tension between North and the South, where yep. Walton Goggins, the new sheriff, he was a Confederate boy, part of a gang of raiders, and Samuel Jackson is, first of all, black, which, you know, puts him at odds with the Confederacy, but also he was a Union general or captain or Union
yeah, and
something.
Then- And then started, part of the cast that we didn't even say, like Bruce Dern plays a role with that.
An old Confederate general.
Yeah. But then there's just other guys where you're just like, man, who is Tim Roth? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, is he just doing Christoph Waltz because Christoph Waltz was busy?
You kind of wanted him. You kept thinking he was supposed to be Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. Tarantino actually said that he wrote this part for Tim Roth.
Which is good.
He wrote it for Tim Roth and Michael Madsen, who plays a cowboy, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Joe Gage. Is Joe Gage the best name? I think Joe Gage for me is the best name in this cat. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like very remarkable to me.
Yeah, but when you say it as Michael Madsen.
Joe Gage. I mean, Daisy Domergue is pretty good. Oswaldo Mowbray, the Tim Roth character, the executioner.
Bob.
Confederate General Sandy Smithers, Sanford Smithers.
Smithers, rub my brain.
So that's all fun and games, and then it gets ugly. And like most, I think this is true of most Quentin Tarantino films, it doesn't add up to much. Like there's not really, it gets into the racial themes a little bit and unlikely alliances and stuff and how those battles continue to be fought and power struggles and stuff. But it's really just a Pulp Fiction story that's fun and violent and then it's over.
Yeah, there's some lingering vibes from Django Unchained, specifically just because it's like, you know, post-Civil War, very strong black, almost lead character, I would say, in this film.
The lead character, I think.
Yeah. So there's some lingering things there, but more important, I mean, it does sit with you on occasion with some of the moments that are talked about as far as like how you survive in the Old West. As an African American, and those are really good. But for the most part, it really is just, you know, like it's supposed to serve as a fictitious tale of interesting characters and surprises along the way.
Yeah, it's a fun Tarantino story.
It really not, is.
He hasn't
really
made is. A bad movie, and I'd say this is somewhere there in the middle of the pack for me.
See, to me, this is like I was glued to everything, and the odd thing was I was like, yeah, I could keep hanging out with him. You could spin a side story out of this for me, and I would just sit and watch that too, or another backdrop of a side character. It's all just, I want to be in this world because it's Tarantino. It's a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, it's B plus.
I'm really curious how I will feel. I purposely sat close when I saw it on a digital screen. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious how I'll feel about 70mm. If it notches itself up a little bit for me.
It probably won't.
Really?
Probably not just because of that, I don't think.
Really?
I mean, it's on a bigger screen and it'll be more clarity in the picture probably, but I don't know that it'll make that much difference. I don't know. Maybe it will.
I'm not saying it'll go to a 10, but just a stronger 9 or something like that. I think screen and where you watch a movie and who you watch it with and all of that stuff, we should give credit to those things. They definitely matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, some of it matters. Some of it shouldn't matter, though. Like, it doesn't affect the movie or shouldn't affect the movie, like who you see it with or how comfortable the seats are. The screen and the presentation is one thing, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
All right, so we did that review. Because it's important that you guys know about Hateful Eight. But now, the real point of the show is our top 10 lists.
Ooh.
The year's over. It's a new year now. So we have to tell you what our favorite movies were from last year.
We have to.
Yep.
It's the rules.
You can't be a film critic and not do a top 10 list.
You can't.
And in our usual way, we'll start at our 10s and go back and forth.
I suppose. Now, I only have one problem with this.
What is it?
I have 23 movies in my top 10.
Okay. Well, choose the top 10 of them, and that'll be your top 10.
Done.
All right. Do you want to go first, or shall I?
I'll go first, because I don't know if you'll want to talk about this. All right. Number 10, Digging for Fire.
Digging for Fire. Sundance.
Digging for Fire, man. Come on. Great performances across the board. It's a hangout movie. People going through thoughts and feelings that I've felt, and great surprise performances from the likes of the side character Orlando Bloom. But Jake Johnson, come on. Sam Rockwell, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brie Larson, Mike Birbiglia, Sam Elliott. Come on.
It's a perfectly fine movie.
Top 10.
All right.
Well, here's the thing about it.
What?
I saw it twice and felt just as strongly.
So well, that's fair. Fair enough.
There it is. That's all you can do in this.
That's all you, exactly. I'm not arguing with you. Yes, that's more power to you.
I don't know if anybody else in America will have it on their top 10, but I don't care. It's mine.
Exactly. That's all.
What do you got for 10?
Well, you're not going to want to talk about my number 10 either because you haven't seen it. Chirac. Spike Lee movie, Chirac.
It is now on digital rental thing somewhere I saw.
Amazon or something has it,
I think. Yeah, I know. I'm annoyed that I haven't seen it. I feel like it's the one that got away.
Mm-hmm. I reviewed this a couple weeks ago. It's a really entertaining and angry and goofy social satire and whatnot. Good Spike Lee. The best Spike Lee film in a long time, for sure. Chirac.
Number 9 for me.
Mm-hmm.
A documentary. What? Jeff Bear? What?
You know, Sports Center is not a documentary.
All right, can I change my answer? Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, The Story of the National Lampoon.
Yes. A delightful documentary.
It's that thing of not only is it just like, okay, it's about comedy. And I never touched the National Lampoon magazine as much as I should have. When I was younger, it just kind of missed me. And then the fact that it really focuses on these brilliant comedians that I got to know after potentially their peak.
Right.
Like Belushi and just getting to see some footage I had never seen before. And it's a really well-crafted documentary, too, and there's some suspense and surprise in some of these characters that ran The Office. And, as you know, if I watch a good documentary, I'm just like, this could be a narrative film pretty easily here. And I feel like there's a lot of good stuff there that would be great to see in a narrative form. But, yeah, I thought this movie was great, very funny.
Very funny documentary about very funny people. I enjoyed it very much as well.
Yeah.
My number 9, Anomalisa.
Anomalisa.
Anomalisa. A late entrant to the list, I'll say.
Oh.
We saw this back at Fantastic Fest, and I liked it a lot, but I felt like I wanted to watch it again before I really... and so last night, the night before we recorded this show, I watched it again, and yep, there it is.
It got to bump up.
It was on the maybe list, and that cemented it. Okay, that goes gotta go on the list. This and it actually opens New York and L.A. like this week, the 31st, barely. Charlie Kaufman wrote and co-directed it. He's the guy who wrote Being John Malkovich and Adaptation and so forth. And it's puppets. They use puppets, stop motion animation, very realistic looking humans. And it's the story of this guy who is...
Well, except for you can see, like, the puppet line.
You can see the seams where they take their faces off to give them different facial expressions. But it's about a guy who's depressed, a businessman on a business trip, and he meets a woman who is different. Everyone is the same to him. His life is in a rut, and he meets finally someone who is different. Voiced by Jennifer Jason Leigh of Hateful Eight.
But this character doesn't get punched in the face.
No, she does get hurt though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I had a top 30, it would be right in there. I really enjoyed that movie.
No, I think Anomalisa is really, really engaged. First of all, the craftsmanship involved in making it, that's always fascinating. But just the story of it, the mundaneness of his life, and then what happens with this woman. And fortunately, you know me, I had forgotten some of the details of the story.
Like
between
how it
viewings.
Ended.
I remembered how it ended, but there were parts in the middle, significant moments that were able to punch me in the gut again. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Very effective.
I will be watching it again. And yeah, it that's the thing. You can't watch everything twice.
No. Sometimes you can't even watch everything once.
Sometimes. So you do this top 10 list, people, and then suddenly you're like, ah. If I just watched that one again, that would have been in there.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
That's how sad this can get. Number 8, Spotlight.
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 A fine film.
Great, solid.
It's also on my list.
It is so solid. It is just, that's it. It's as simple as that. Everybody's doing their job, period. Good movie.
Agreed. It's number 3 on my list.
It's number 3 on your list.
Yeah.
You know what just kept happening for me?
Hmm.
And this is not a fault of the movie, but maybe more of a fault of me. It doesn't have a ton of wow moments. Nor should it. It's part of its brilliance. But the movies ahead of it kind of had like maybe a little bit more surprises that I didn't see happening or more,
yeah, I know
more
what you
excitement
mean.
Or
more bang.
More bang for your
buck.
That's how it goes. Mm-hmm. So that, number 8, Spotlight. That's your number 3?
Yeah. My number 8, The Martian. The Martian. It's about a Martian man.
It's only 8 for you?
Get out of here.
It's my 7. I'm just saying, it's 7 to me.
About a Martian named Matt Damon, who's trying to get back to Earth to invade. Wants to invade Earth.
So wait, he was here once before? You said he's trying to get back.
I misspoke. He's trying to invade Earth. He's from Mars. Okay. He's trying to get to Earth.
Got it.
To take over.
All right. All he's got to do is get off of Mars. And
just
got to
get off Mars.
Home free, and then the world domination.
Yeah, getting off Mars turns out very difficult. Very tricky operation over there. I loved The Martian, loved the optimism of it and the spirit of problem solving, figure out what needs to be done, figure out a way to do it. Don't wallow in despair. Don't pity yourself. Just get to work and fix it.
I am really annoyed. I was lucky enough to get a screener of The Martian.
Yeah.
And my wife hasn't seen it yet. And big excitement finally. Okay, tonight's the night. And I open it up, the sealed envelope. Nothing's in there. It was empty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and not only that, you can't rent it for like another 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they just screwed up over at the screener factory or whatever?
They did. And I don't think anybody's working there over the holidays because I haven't heard back from them. Mm-hmm. So there
That's
we go.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my number 7. So would you like to tell me your number 7?
My number 7.
Oh, wait. Everything that Eric said, I agree with The Martian. There we go. All right. What's your number seven?
This probably did not make your list at all.
My 23 didn't make my top 23?
Probably not. Right. It was a sports movie called Creed. About a boxer. I don't know if you remember it. Creed.
It's not in my top 21.
Is it in your, wait. Is it in your top three?
It's in my top two. It's number two.
Nice. Yes, you liked Creed more than I did, but I liked it very much. Great stirring sports story. Because, you know, I'm not a sports fan, particularly. No.
But one thing you like is men hitting men in the face.
I do like men getting hit in the face. Yeah. And I am a sucker for inspiring stories, be they about sports or anything else.
There's so much inspiration here. Mm. And not only that, I can't even remember her name, but the supporting actress in this film, like, she should be nominated. This is a great character. Just the fact that this character exists in a sports movie is impressive.
What do you mean by that, though?
You watched it again?
No.
This character that is fully developed on her own path. She doesn't need Creed. She feels drawn to him.
She's not just the girlfriend, so he's got someone to kiss at the end.
And she is not just somebody to follow him on his journey. She's going through her own thing, and I would sit through a sequel that was about her and how he was just like, man, maybe I shouldn't get punched anymore. I'll follow you around.
Yeah.
I would do it. Sign me up for that. Okay. Part two.
Well, there probably will be one.
Okay. Creed is my number two.
Where are we now?
I saw that twice. Now I give you my number six.
Yes, you're number six.
Sleeping with Other People.
Oh, which I did not see.
What?
Wait, did I? No, I did see that. That's the one about the sex addicts, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I did see it. Oh, yeah, I like that movie.
Oh, that movie's so good. It is my number one comedy of the year. And in fact, like, the only comedy that so far has, like, really held up on a second viewing. Like, I watched The Overnight, and it was just like, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, Sleeping with Other People, to me, is hopefully an historically good romantic comedy. It is what I want or need out of romantic comedies now. Jason Sudeikis, Alison Brie, a really strong supporting cast. A lot of good depth and humor out of this subject of people that don't necessarily feel like they're meant to be with other people.
Yeah. People who are messed up.
Yeah.
My number six, Carol.
Ah, Carol. Top 23 for Carol. She didn't make it.
Lovely
I can't
film.
Believe she didn't make it.
Rooney Mara, Kate Blanchett. It's 1952 or thereabouts. And some women are falling in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the twist. The women are falling in love, not with men,
but with other women. In the 50s, I don't think that caught on really then. I don't think it was a thing.
That's why it's so interesting in the movie, because no one had ever heard of it before.
No, they hadn't.
No, that's a really effective romantic drama character study, very careful and precise and well-made.
And Coach Taylor's in it.
And Kyle Chandler, yeah. Coach Taylor's in it.
Number five for me, The Hateful Eight. I don't think we need to discuss it anymore.
It's in my top 20.
All right, so for my top five, I feel like are in a different category than my next 18. To be honest, my next 18 could all have, like, yeah, fine, I'll put that one as 8 or 9.
Right.
Like, it was really tough to say, but my top five, I feel like, were separated.
All right.
They meant something more. So all The right. Hateful Eight, number five.
My number five, What We Do in the Shadows. That is the best comedy of the year.
I need a second viewing of that.
I got a second viewing.
I love parts of it, and for some reason I was still stuck on that, like, 8 out of 10.
No, What We Do in the Shadows, that's the vampire mockumentary. Very funny. Very clever and inventive. And
Jean Clement, right? Is that his name? Did I just make that name up?
Jermaine Clement. Some New Zealand, some Kiwis made it.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable. What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's a short one too, right?
Yeah, it's like 85 minutes or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Number four for me. A documentary.
What?
What?
Another one?
Two documentaries in my top 10? I thought we were going to talk about movies.
Now, Jeff, you know a second episode of SportsCenter is still not a documentary.
Wait, if it's a different episode, though, they talked about different things.
First of all, I bet they didn't.
It's probably true. call me Lucky.
Lucky.
No, no, Eric, Call Me Lucky.
I haven't seen this either, but I know I should. Everyone loved
this?
It.
I have this. Oh, wait, I think it's on Netflix. What's stopping you? What are you doing?
I don't know. I just didn't get around to it.
All right.
I know it's about a comedian, and it's really good.
Yep, and it's directed by the one and only Bobcat Goldthwait, who really impressed the heck out of me with this. I feel like awards aren't necessarily the end all be all, but it is annoying that this one is getting overlooked in documentary for me, because I think it's a very important film, but a film done exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. There is suspense and surprise and heartache with this documentary about sometimes simply about comedy that you don't really see coming, and it's very impressive. Call Me Lucky.
Good. All right. I need to see that. My number four, It Follows.
Oh, yeah.
It Follows.
That'd be in my top 32.
My favorite horror movie of the year.
You love horrors.
Horror.
Got it. Got it. My fault. My fault.
I do love horrors, but that is not relevant here. It Follows. Very creepy and atmospheric. I think it's a really original horror concept that's well done. Has a great soundtrack, and I'm on the DVD commentary.
I was going to say, one of your rules is, if you're in the DVD commentary, it's automatically in your top five.
Automatically has to be on the list,
so,
yeah.
So, like, it's almost, I don't know, it feels like only being at number four is kind of a slap in the face to It Follows.
Well, I was on a lot of DVD commentaries.
Okay. Okay.
That's not true. This is the only one ever.
N equals one.
Yeah, It Follows. Good stuff. Good scary stuff.
That was your number four?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So far, have we only had two? We've had The Martian and Spotlight overlap?
And
Creed. That's it, right? Oh, and Creed. Okay, yeah. Three. I think we're on typical pace.
That's about right.
Number three for me.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Earl and The Dying Girl. All of them.
Oh, yeah, that movie. I forgot about that movie.
Do you need to redo your top 10?
No. It'd be in the top 20, probably. I only ever saw it the once, though.
I saw it the twice.
But I did like it.
Bald like a baby the mm-hmm. second time, too.
Yeah. I remember, and you needed changing, too, as I recall. Baby-like.
Yeah. I get it. So, yeah, no, it's an amazing coming-of-age story, and it rises above the, you know, high school film quite a bit. Once again, wonderful performances, and, yeah, I think I had more tears come out of my eyes in this movie. Although I definitely
where do they usually come out of?
Oh gosh, everywhere. It's unfortunate. What are you gonna do?
You got tear ducts everywhere.
Yeah,
this guy.
Most people don't know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Room was also one that. Oh wait, you haven't. No wait, you didn't love The Room that much. It's not gonna be your number three. I'm not gonna guess. What's your number three?
I already told you it's Spotlight.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your number two?
Creed, I already told you that.
Oh, yeah. My number two is Brooklyn. Good old Brooklyn.
I think Brooklyn technically would have been my 25th. I didn't go that far.
Seeing it a second time cemented it for me, and I just keep thinking about it and smiling. This has just become my go-to all-purpose recommendation when people say what's good that I should see. Oh, Brooklyn. Because, like, not everything is for everybody. Like, I wouldn't expect everyone to love Anomalisa or
right,
It Follows
right.
or whatever. Brooklyn, yep. though, only a monster wouldn't enjoy it. It yeah. is a very suitable mainstream kind of tastes, but just lovely and sweet and funny and nice, and you smile.
I've only seen it the one time as well. I look forward to a one day talking about but never getting around to doing a fan edit to where I just do the Brooklyn scene. Like, so I remove the Ireland trip. So it's like an
so you
hour.
Remove the point of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I, like,
that's
I
a great idea.
That, Because then I'll just have an hour and 5 minutes or whatever it is of just pure joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just pure joy.
Yeah. Which you won't fully appreciate without the tension to...
That's not true. When I made Braveheart into an action movie by cutting out the first hour and 10 minutes, I still remembered that on occasion. And then here's what it does. It makes you appreciate it all that much more when you finally watch the whole thing again.
Yeah, all right.
You're like, oh, yeah. Please, you don't think I need that Love Actually fan edit that I keep talking about doing? I'm desperate for it, watching that movie every year.
Well, then you should make that fan edit.
I should. Instead.
Better yet, you should just keep talking about it every single year, forever.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Stay the course.
Status quo.
Someday I should watch Love Actually for a second time.
Actually, once I make the fan edit, you know, because I'll do that sometime. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You should just watch that with me.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
Gosh, I wonder what our number one movies of the year are.
Hmm. Hmm. Oh, yeah, we've not mentioned a particular one.
So I have been juggling between me and Earl and Creed while thinking of this other movie and just being like, but why am I not doing that one? Why am I not doing that one again? So I watched it with Lisa, and she was like, "Well, that was a really ugly, mean movie."
Because there's no way your wife liked this movie. It was the same one I'm thinking of.
She didn't like it a lot. No. But it was either the third or fourth time that I've seen it, and I am the reason this is number one for me. I'm just so happy that this movie exists in all of its oddities. In all of its scope, in all of its layers, I think we are so lucky that we have this big, massive budget, beautiful movie to look at that is just kind of crazy.
Agreed. Especially after the first Paul Blart was not very good. To have the sequel come along.
Just surprise the heck out of you.
Low right expectations. To the top of the list, yeah. No, it's Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, wait. Yes. Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm. So we have the same number one again. We did last year too. Do you remember?
Yes. That was
It was Whiplash.
Whiplash.
Although last
we have the year before that, didn't we just have the one and two reversed?
I don't remember. I can't go back that far.
Internet can, but we can't.
Yeah, Mad Max Fury Road. I did not enjoy a film more than I enjoyed that film this year.
Word on the street is I'm about 6 months away or less from getting a 65-inch TV.
Mm.
It's comically big. Mm-hmm. When I was watching the movie last night, I was like, yeah, I need to rewatch this on a bigger screen. There are certain movies, like, it does make sense for Gravity and Mad Max to find itself back in the theater like every 5 years or something.
Yeah, they could probably make money on that.
And I'm really curious, like, you know how we have a lot of second run theaters and like retro. I wonder what movies a decade from now you're going to see in the theater, or if it's just a matter of like, yeah, you go, your wall is a screen and it doesn't matter anymore. Who knows?
Who knows what the future will bring?
All I know is I love this film.
Yeah, what a great action masterpiece with bonkers action and craziness and some surprising layers to it, and great Charlize Theron and her one arm, and
her one arm that is never mentioned. It's never one line of, it's not one single line of dialogue. That's how smart this movie is.
Yeah, love that movie, Mad Max Fury Road. And when it came out and we loved it, and I remember somebody asked, do you think it'll get awards consideration? I said, well, probably like the technical categories, but I wouldn't hold my breath for Best Picture. But now it seems like it'll probably get nominated for Best Picture and the Academy Awards. It won't win.
But you also have to hold your breath now, I think.
Now you do have to hold your breath.
So?
I guess I'll see you in a month when they announce the nominations.
Yeah, I think if it could win a significant award, that would be exciting. And if Sylvester Stallone could be nominated for Creed, that would be exciting.
Mm, yeah.
Those would be two things that would be nice about the Academy Awards. Otherwise, whatever. It can do its thing and hopefully be an entertaining show. Oh, since you asked. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next 13 on the list.
All right.
The Big Short, Ex Machina, The Revenant, Steve Jobs, Mission Impossible, Carol, Sicario, Youth, Bridge of Spies, Mississippi Grind, The Voices, The End of the Tour, and a film I just saw and really recommend people check out on Netflix, People, Places, Things.
Among the other films on my list would have been 99 Homes, Room, The Hateful Eight, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, Spy, The Big Short, The Voices, and probably some others. Mm. I want to mention a thing that happened. Since we're wrapping up the end of the year here, we talked about the
what
best.
Did you do?
Well,
what
I watched Paul Blart Mall Cop 3 nights in a row.
Why would you do that?
According to the terms of our summer box office challenge, which I lost, I had to do that.
I was joking about that. I didn't expect you to ever do that.
I was joking about doing it. No, I did watch it. And I kept running diary, which I just need to edit it and put online. And yeah. The main thing about watching a bad movie 3 nights in a row is that you really notice the bad parts.
So no, did it... Was there any part, I know we can save it for the write-up, but was there any part where you're like, man, this just keeps getting better?
No, there was no part like that.
There was never one moment where you're like, you know, that was funny the first two times, but it went to the next level this third time.
No, there were, I will say, there were a couple things that I did find amusing that did make me chuckle, which consistently made me chuckle, that worked every time. But the parts that were not good... never got any better. And I really came to sympathize with people who work on bad movies, especially if you're an editor or something else that will involve having to watch parts of the movie over and over again. I can't even imagine, because some of the scenes are so dumb and bad. It would just make you crazy to have to like sit with that movie over and over again for days at a time. Anyway, we'll get that online. We'll link to it. You can read my despair, moment by moment.
I look forward to it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to read it, but I look forward to other people reading that.
Sure. And now it's time for the questions of the week, our year-end questions, where we asked you guys some things. First of all, the Mount Rushmore. We're going to make a Mount Rushmore of 2015.
That's right. We asked you guys for your top three of 2015, and... decided we would just make it into a Mount Rushmore.
Sure, what
and
the heck?
And that is what we've done. Eric, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that there was a lot of movies on the list.
Okay.
Here's the movies that received multiple votes but are not in even the top 10.
Okay.
Just for conversations.
All right.
Ant-Man, Bone Tomahawk, Straight Outta Compton, Love and Mercy, Sicario, Duke of Burgundy.
Mm.
Look at that. Good job, guys. Dope. Mm. The Hateful Eight. And World of Tomorrow.
Those movies all got multiple votes, but did not make the top 10.
How do you feel about The World of Tomorrow?
It's a great movie, but it's not eligible. It's not a feature film. It's a short.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to take cracks at the Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be an easy year, so...
Mad Max Fury Road.
Mad Max Fury Road tripled the votes of any other movie.
Wow.
Tripled the amount.
It's number one?
It's number one. Far and away number one. It'll just be curious if they, whoever wants to Photoshop this particular Mount Rushmore, if they use Furiosa, or Max. It'll be curious. I don't know what they'll do. I know what I would do, but I'm not Photoshopping it.
My next guess, I'm gonna say Star Wars. Does Star Wars make the list?
Tied for second.
Okay.
Now wait, Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Yes, the new
okay.
one.
Okay. Yep.
And then let's also go with. What about Creed?
Creed is in the second four.
Okay. Then
so you get that's an out. You just got an out.
Oh,
that's
how we're doing a game. Okay, all right.
We just did a game. Gotcha. Actually, I'm sorry, you didn't get an out.
What did I get?
You got a gutter ball.
Oh, okay.
You were bowling.
I had no idea.
I can tell because you just got a gutter ball.
How about The Martian?
Ooh, another gutter ball. Mm. It was also in the second top four.
I will guess then. I don't see. I didn't look at people's submissions at all, so I don't have a sense of it.
Good. Yeah, I think you just said I didn't cheat. So,
right, but so I don't even I don't know if people other than movie critics liked this movie, but I'm going to say Carol.
Nobody said that movie.
All right.
I think. Gosh, what does that mean?
I got three gutter balls.
The turkey gutter? Is that a thing?
That's no good.
That's really embarrassing. Say one more movie and then we might be done.
Spotlight.
Some people did, but not enough for the second four either, all right. I don't think.
So it's Mad Max and then it's...
Star Wars and Ex Machina tied for second.
Okay, Ex Machina.
And number four, animated, Inside Out.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that movie.
The second four, The Martian, Mission Impossible, Creed, and I want to make sure I say this right. Yeah, that's Spotlight.
Okay. Yeah. So the Mount Rushmore for the year: Mad Max, Star Wars, Ex Machina, and the fourth thing.
Inside Out.
Inside Out. All right.
Yeah. Those are the four movies that people decided to care about the most.
It's a good set of movies.
There you go. Somebody said The Gunman. Is that the one with Sean Penn?
Possibly.
All right.
Never saw it.
Somebody said The Lobster. What's going on?
It hasn't been released yet.
Okay, thank you. Good.
That can be our list for next year.
I need to see that movie again because I really loved it. And it was that thing of like, wait a minute, have I missed telling people that I loved this movie?
But no, it hasn't come out yet.
So there we go.
March. Be out in March.
Somebody said wrestling isn't wrestling. I've not heard of that movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. People said things.
And thank you all for saying those things. Then we also asked you, were there any movies that you saw this year because we told you to?
Right.
We want to know if our propaganda is working. And boy, howdy it is. This is nice to see. Very nice to see when people, listen to us. Because we're not doing this for our health, you guys.
No, this actually doesn't help.
Or for money.
No. What are we doing this for?
For this.
Oh, the fans. For the fans. That's so right.
I'm delighted to see that a few people said what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
I see at least three here on our Facebook page who said
that. Not only that, that was a movie that, kind of sort of they bungled the release, I would say, a little bit. Like, they didn't necessarily know what they had or how to promote it.
And it was a small distributor, kind of didn't know what to do with it. And then
it was just out. Like, it even caught us by surprise that it was like, oh, it's out now?
And it was on video on demand, too.
Right. But then it hung around forever. I want to say it's still even playing at a Portland screen.
Maybe.
I don't know. There's no way to know. But anyway.
So I'm glad to see that. Everyone should see what we do in the shadows. Spotlight, somebody says. A couple of people said Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that was another one that people had heard of it. It was well advertised, but they weren't interested in it until people started saying, oh, no, it's good. You should go see that.
Right. I agree with that completely. David says Phoenix. So David's wrong. Mm. We could probably just move on and not read what else he has to say.
I think you remember that you were the wrong one.
No. How could I be wrong if I think I'm right?
It's a good point. The Martian.
Greg says Kingsman. Which did we were both surprised at how much we liked it, even though it did mess up a few moments, especially the final joke of the film. But Greg also said it was a lot more violent than he was expecting. I don't remember exactly what we talked about. I would have sworn that we would have mentioned the violence
in
Kingsman, because there's two definitive very violent scenes.
Oh yeah.
But maybe we just talked about the cool action and not the death involved in that action.
Somebody says that you got him to check out The Overnight, and it's definitely making his top 10.
Ooh.
Hmm. A couple of people said The Voices, although Sam was disappointed in The Voices, didn't care for it so much, but nonetheless acknowledges that it's our fault that she saw it.
I really wish I had watched it a second time. I do need to see that movie again. It's been too long.
It Follows, a few people say, too. Good, good. Glad to hear it.
The Babadook.
Oh, The Babadook, sure.
From last Blue Ruin, even though it was last year, too.
Yeah, there's a few of those people
a
mentioned.
A couple of last years.
Someone said it was Rubber. That's from a few years ago. Blue Ruin, Blue Jasmine, History of Future Folk.
We got everybody to see what we do in the shadows.
Right?
Man.
Good job, us. Yeah. Short Term 12, another one from last year. Gets mentioned here. The Voices. Did I say The Voices already? Yes, I did say it already.
Yeah.
Call Me Lucky and Mississippi Grind. That's two of yours from the Sundance episode.
Very nice.
Zach appreciates that. Brooklyn, says Cole. Oh, that's Cole, my friend Cole. Cole, by the way, listens to the show primarily when he's trying to go to sleep. He has trouble sleeping, so he listens. He finds it soothing to hear people talking to lull him to sleep.
I didn't realize how he spells his name.
With a K?
Oh, boy.
Man, Cole. Well, it's on his parents, isn't it?
Cole with a K.
His sister's Camille with a K.
I got to rethink this whole thing.
Right.
Anyway, is there Cole, another one, or is it just
the
two of them?
We should speak quietly in case Cole's trying to go to sleep.
I'm just saying, are there three Ks?
I don't remember if there's more.
I didn't know if that was the parents' thing. Like, let's do a K, and a K. It'll be KKK. It'll be great.
Three Ks. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that plan.
Nothing wrong.
So thanks. We're glad that we've given you guys some recommendations of things to see and that it worked.
We're so glad.
So glad. Makes it all worthwhile.
Got my glad face on.
That's your glad face? Yikes. All right, so question of the week for next week. We want to know. What do we want to know?
We want to know, what movie do you want Eric and me to see and why? That's it.
Yeah, a movie that you think that we have not seen.
Right.
That you think that we
It's okay if you're wrong. You don't necessarily have to go look up what we've seen and what we haven't seen.
Well, also, I mean, how would they... They could look up and see what we've reviewed on the show, but there's no comprehensive list of every movie we've ever seen.
As I tell my son and Eric, just try. That's what I care about. I'll tell you
something that you think that we have not seen that we ought to,
and maybe we will.
Maybe we will. We're because now see we're trying to return the favor. We have given you some recommendations, and now we want you guys to give us some recommendations.
That's right.
And we'll get some ideas for movies to watch. Huh, what?
Eric, do we have a question that we can answer in that segment that we're calling?
Questions that we can answer. Yes, we do have a question. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you. This
was recently submitted on Christmas Day, actually. Stuart, just sitting around, nothing to do, I guess, on Christmas.
Oh, Stuart.
Poor Stuart.
You could have gone to hang out with Eric.
Well, maybe he's Jewish. Maybe there's a reason he was not celebrating Christmas.
Then you could
not necessarily a sad thing.
Then you could hang out with our friend Mike.
Yeah. He's Jewish. You guys all know each other, right?
Oh, Eric. No, Eric.
I don't think Stuart Forbes actually is Jewish. It's probably the least Jewish name I've ever heard. Anyway, Stuart has this question for you, Jeff. Stuart says, you often say at the same point, or I would use the expression at the same time.
This one?
Is this an Iowa or a Midwestern idiom? Wait for it. I've only ever heard people from the Midwest use it. That's what caught my attention, because I've only ever heard you use it. But it sounds like Stuart is saying that he has heard other people use this expression.
All right, what am I supposed to say?
But the usual expression would be at the same time or by the same token.
At the same time.
And you say at the same point.
At the same point.
Which I don't think anybody else says, but Stuart says that he's heard other people say it. So now I'm very curious. Stuart, I'd like a follow-up on whether you really have heard other people say this or if you're just being generous.
Well, and if I know you, you are now going to put in the man hours to get to the bottom of this, right?
I do. If it turns out that other people besides you say it, then yes, I want to investigate that.
Yeah.
I still think that it's just you.
I have no idea with this one. All the others I could easily explain, I'm sure. This one, I have no clue. I don't know. I don't know why I say it. I don't even know why I'm here. Let alone a lot of why mysteries. I say things.
A lot of mysteries about Jeff.
Ugh, so perplexing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not a very interesting answer.
Well, maybe you could have another question.
Yeah. So we have another question.
Woohoo! I love these.
What movie that you still have never seen is the most egregious blind spot for you as so-called critics of these newfangled moving pictures? That's from Nick.
Oh, I'm curious what yours is now.
I've clicked a few off my list.
Right. I think I'm down to two that are just terrible that I haven't seen. Schindler's List.
Schindler's List, I know, is one of yours.
And Gone with the Wind?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel it's bad that I haven't seen those two. I don't know if anything else that I haven't seen is like, what? Come on. What's wrong with you?
Right.
There's other movies that are just like, oh, yeah, that is supposed to be a wonderful foreign film that I haven't sat down and watched right. yet. One that I just crossed off?
Yeah.
Metropolis.
Oh, yeah. Metropolis. Old silent sci-fi film. Very influential.
Yeah, very influential. And you can actually read my back and forth with the wonderful Jenna Bush, who was nice enough to do that for me. You can find that at Film School Rejects. And I'll go ahead and link, since I mentioned it, I'll link to that on the Movie BS Facebook page. Totally a movie worth checking out. Just very interesting film.
My most egregious all the Star Treks. Like most of the Star Treks I haven't seen.
You've now seen Star Trek 2, right?
No. I haven't seen 1, 2, or 3, or 4.
Huh. So pop culture, yes, 100%. As a film critic, probably people would frown upon 2 and 1, but nobody necessarily worships 1.
Sure.
And it's a totally different tone. It is weird to watch 1 and then watch 2.
So I hear.
You can tell. They're different beasts. But yeah, that would be pop culture wise, definitely.
Those are up there. And then like, Chariots of Fire, some of those best picture kind of movies from the 80s I'm missing.
I really liked that movie.
And I still haven't seen Ghost or The Bodyguard.
Oh my gosh.
Again, pop culture, not critical.
Have you ever seen Breaking Away?
No, I haven't seen that either.
I'll see that with you.
All right. Maybe. Maybe I don't want to see it.
There wasn't a question in what I said. I said, I will see that with you.
Jerry Maguire is another
one. What about him? What?
Haven't seen it.
I can't do it. I can't do the thing that I always do whenever you say these titles. How can you not have seen that?
Yeah, it's amazing. So
Jerry Maguire?
So there's
Jerry
several.
Jerry Maguire's easily in the top 10 of romantic comedies for me. It's more romantic comedy than sports movie. For anybody out there that's wondering, but you can slide it into sports, whereas sliding Die Hard into Christmas just ain't cool.
So there you go. Those answers to the questions that people ask us or something.
Like that.
Yeah. So to wrap it up, Hateful Eight is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Good, solid Tarantino movie. And then our top tens, we'll recap those right now. Mine.
Here we go.
My top 10. Number 10, Chi-Raq. 9, Anomalisa. 8, The Martian. 7, Creed. 6, Carol. 5, What We Do in the Shadows. 4, It Follows. 3, Spotlight. 2, Brooklyn. 1, Mad Max Fury Road. And your list?
10, Digging for Fire. 9, Drunkstone, Brilliant Dead, The Story of the National Lampoon. 8, Spotlight. 7, The Martian. 6, Sleeping with Other People. 5, The Hateful Eight. 4, Call Me Lucky. 3, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. 2, Creed. 1, Mad Max Fury Road. So we got 4 overlaps this year. And then 1 each where we're just like, what? No, that wouldn't be in my top 10.
Well, and we each have a couple of the other... I have one that you haven't seen, Chi-Raq.
Oh, right.
And you...
I have one.
Just Call Me Lucky, I think, yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Another fine year of movies and of... talking about movies here on our little podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for your support.
Yeah, thanks.
And here's to a happy new year. And so until next week, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening and good day.
I said good day.